thank you for listening to this sermon from Goodwill Church, located in New York's Hudson Valley. Goodwill Church is on a mission to be a hub of revival in the Northeast and beyond. For more information about our church, please visit goodwillchurch.org. Now, here's the sermon.
We are working through the Gospel of Luke. We started in the first weekend of Advent, December last year, with Luke chapter 1, verse 1, and we've been working through that. We kind of stopped in the middle of 7 so that we could move ahead to the account of Palm Sunday, last Sunday in Luke, and of course today to the account of the resurrection. It's chapter 24 in the Gospel of Luke, the first 12 verses that change everything. Luke 24, starting in verse 1, the Word of God. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking spices they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day rise." And they remembered his words. And returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen cloths by themselves, and he went home marveling at what had happened. And may God add his richest blessing to this, the reading of his word. Pray with me if you would. Lord, thank you. We want to understand these words, and we want to celebrate their meaning, and we want what they mean, what we celebrate, to change us from the inside out. And we ask that we would bring you glory. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. So there are two kinds of mornings. There's the morning before the news comes, when you are still operating on your old assumptions, where the world seems to be exactly what it always was, the before morning. But then there's the after morning, the morning after. And these women, this morning, they were walking to that tomb on what they knew was a before morning. That's what it was supposed to be, a before morning. Business as usual, grief work, spice preparations, a sad and necessary goodbye. They came to wrap up what was left of a life that they had followed. They came expecting death. Instead, what they found changed everything. It changed history. It made everything different. And to every single human being who has heard of it since or read these words, it has urged us all to do one thing. It has urged us all to live differently because he is risen. All right, I thought I'd catch you, but I didn't. All right, verse 1. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. So these women, they're the last ones standing. At the crucifixion, the disciples had fled. You know, the men had scattered except for maybe one. But these women, Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and Mary, the mother of James, and the others, they stayed. They watched Jesus die on the cross. They saw the tomb where he was laid. And now, at the first possible legal moment after the Sabbath, they were arriving at the tomb. They were here, and it's because they were faithful. But they were also wrong. Wrong. Not wrong about their love, not wrong concerning their commitment, but wrong about what they expected to find. They had come prepared to find and tend to a corpse. Verse 2, and they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. So in that culture, a stone in front of a tomb was a statement. It's over. Finished. Sealed off. But they found that stone rolled away. And by the way, Jesus did not need the stone rolled away to get out. You know, from what we read, he could have just walked through it or blown it to bits with a word. No, he made sure that the stone was rolled away, not so that he could get out, but so that they could get in and find it empty. And he even made sure that the stone was visible there off to the side so that they could see that the world did not have the last word. He is risen. Verse 3, but when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. So they came ready for a funeral. They brought spices. They had a plan. Grief and courage in equal measure. They had things sorted out, but then God changed everything. And this is where the change begins for us, right here. Because we might be carrying spices right now, or our version of that. We might have decided that things are finished, over, sealed shut, and we're just attempting to manage our sin and our place in a sinful world. We may be trying to accept a before morning life with its limits and its lack of hope. But the stone has been moved. The body is not here. There's only one thing left to do, and that is to live differently because he is risen. And at this moment, these women, they're perplexed, they're searching, they're standing in the emptiness of this tomb, and that's when heaven speaks. Verse 4, while they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, why do you seek the living among the dead? Notice the sequence there. They're perplexed. They're frightened. They bow low. And then they hear the question that changes everything. Sometimes the most important announcements in your life come when you are on the ground. When you're bewildered and afraid and you just don't know what's going on. You don't know what's happening here. That's when God speaks. Verse 6, he is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day rise. So these verses 5 through 7, they contain the most important words ever spoken in human history. And notice how they start. They start with this question, why do you seek the living among the dead? And it's not a rebuke. The angels aren't rebuking the women. The word isn't rebuking us. It's an invitation to all of us to reset. That's what this morning is. That's what this moment is. That's what these words mean. It's an invitation to revise the assumptions you walked in with, the assumptions you've been carrying around with you. The angels are basically saying, look, you've been looking for Jesus in the category of the dead. He does not belong there. He never did. He's the living one, and the living do not stay in tombs. He is not here, but has risen. Those seven words. Most important words ever, the greatest truth ever spoken, or the greatest lie ever told. There's no room or possibility or permission for middle ground here. There's no comfortable, spiritualized, metaphorical version of the resurrection that kind of lets us all off the hook. Nope. It's one or the other. Plain and simple, like the Bible says, like so many millions of people believe and have believed for thousands of years, risked their lives, lost their lives for it. He's not here. He's still not there. He has risen. Actually, physically, historically, bodily, risen. You live differently, you believe differently, because he is risen. Remember, this is what the angels say, remember how he told you. So the angels are not giving the women new information. This is old information. They're pointing back to old information, what Jesus had already said. Faith involves remembering. Faith is bringing to mind what Jesus has said, especially in situations that look like they contradict what he has said. Jesus had told them this multiple times. He had said that the Son of Man must suffer, be crucified, on the third day rise. They had heard it. They had not understood it. And now, in the pain of their grief, they had forgotten it. But the resurrection didn't need them to remember, doesn't need us to remember. The resurrection invites us to remember. And look at the next verse, verse 8. And they remembered. They remembered his words. These words, right here, this is the beginning of a different life. This is what living differently starts out as and continues to be, remembering his words. They remember what he had told them, and then their memory met up with the empty tomb they were looking at, and that's when something lit up inside of them. And God wants the same thing for you and I today, for that something to light up within us. In their case, it was the first brilliant rays of a faith that death, even death, could not kill. Live differently because he is risen. And if you're going to live differently, it will be because you remember his words. You remember his word. And you bring what you remember into every situation in your life. Every sealed tomb, every so-called finished chapter, you remember what he said. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. He said, because I live, you also will live. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. And on, remember. Remember what he said. And when you remember, that resurrection reality takes root in you, and then something happens. It's inevitable. You cannot keep it to yourself. Verse 9, and returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. So they were eyewitnesses. They were the first. They went and told. Think about the courage that took. This is first century Jewish culture. Here, the testimony of women was not even considered legally admissible in court. So the disciples had every social reason to dismiss them. They were going into a room full of grief-stricken, frightened men, saying, the tomb is empty. He has risen. And they went anyway, because when you live differently because he has risen, you speak differently and you risk differently. They were entrusted with this history-changing truth. So are you. The stone rolled away, the angel's declaration. They remembered Jesus' words. That made them witnesses, not spectators. We're all called to be witnesses, not spectators. And witnesses never keep their testimonies to themselves. Amen? But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. An idle tale. In the original language, this means nonsense, delusion, right? Something that does not fit reality as we know it. This is exactly what the world will say, has said, will continue to say. Every generation has its version of this dismissal. They call it mythology or wish fulfillment or pre-scientific wishful thinking or the comforting tale for the emotionally fragile. The answer to them is this. The tomb is empty. Explain that. Amen? Don't be surprised when resurrection is met with dismissal. It was met with dismissal on the very morning it happened, as we read, by the people who had seen Jesus with their own eyes, heard his voice with their own ears. The fact is, truth does not require consensus to be true. Amen? Yeah, the tomb was empty, whether anyone believed it or not. But then, there was Peter. Peter, the failure. Peter, the betrayer. Peter, the denier. Verse 12, but Peter rose and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen cloths by themselves, and he went home marveling at what had happened. Peter, he had denied Jesus three times. Peter, he had run away. In the garden. He had spent these last days just basking in the worst shame of his life. That Peter, watching from a distance while everything he had staked his entire life on died a gruesome death on a Roman cross. He was broken. He had failed. I mean, he had no right to do anything, and he knew it. He knew his failure. And yet when these women gave their report, he responded. He was not considering that he was disqualified by his betrayal, his failure, his denial. He wasn't paralyzed by shame or his past or anything like that. In fact, maybe it was because he was so broken. Maybe it was because he experienced this failure. Maybe that made it so that he could hear what these women were saying. Because when he did hear, he got up on his feet and he ran. And he got there as quick as he could, and he stooped. And he looked, and he saw those linen cloths by themselves. He saw them all folded up there, those burial wrappings, looking as if whoever was wearing them had just stepped out of them. And it says he went home marveling at what happened. Marveling, wondering. His mind had not yet caught up to what he had seen. This is where Luke 24 leaves Peter. Not yet with full resurrection faith. Not yet with the theological clarity that will come with Pentecost. Just marveling. And there's grace in that. Maybe you can find grace in that this morning, because maybe you're here this morning and you're not sure you're all the way there. You're somewhere between the women's testimony and the declaration of Thomas. Thomas, who said, "My Lord and my God." Maybe you're somewhere between the empty tomb and the upper room appearance of Jesus. You walk through a wall just then. to be with his disciples in his resurrected body. You're somewhere in between. And that happens to be that area of somewhere in between, that happens to be where Jesus meets people all the time. You are in good company, if that's you. And just like Jesus didn't leave Peter there, he's not going to leave you there. He's got you now. Yep, the empty tomb, the rolled away stone, the folded set of burial cloths, and these 12 verses, they contain more than enough for each and every one of us to live differently because he is risen. So these verses are the foundation of everything. This is the chapter in Scripture that makes every other chapter make sense. Now Christmas makes sense. Now the cross makes sense. Now Monday makes sense. Your ordinary days, your extraordinary days, the struggles involved there, it all makes sense now because on that first day of the week at dawn, this group of faithful, grieving women walked into a tomb and found it empty. He is not there. He is risen. And because he is risen, we can live. You can live freely, fully, courageously, with eyes open, spices set down, stone rolled away. You're not a people of the grave. Nope. The reason for the grave, your sin, Jesus paid the price for that, the full price for that, through his death on the cross. And now, simply through faith in his finished work on that cross, simply through faith in him alone, you are a people of the empty tomb. You are not a people of sealed stones. You are a people of rolled away stones. You are a people of the risen King. Live differently because he is risen. Let me invite you, if you're able, if you're willing to rise, let me pray for us on this beautiful resurrection morning. Lord, thank you so much. Some of us find ourselves in the middle. We find ourselves off to the side. We find ourselves feeling far away from you, and yet here we are, or we're listening online, watching online. Lord, you've got us. You're getting us. You're calling us to yourself, and we want to say yes to you. And Lord, bless anyone here who's saying yes. Yes, I know that the only price that could be paid for my sins, the only one who could pay that high price was you, Lord Jesus, and the only way you did it was on that cross. And I know that you rose from the grave, and in doing so, you pull me with you. You take me with you. Lord, bless anyone who's saying yes to you as Savior and Lord right here and right now. Some of us, it may be for the first time ever. Some of us, it may be for the first time in a long time. Regardless, each and every one of us here are humbled and honored to worship you, to declare your name this day, to read your scriptures and to pray to you with the greatest confidence and to sing your praises because you are risen. Thank you, Jesus. In your name we pray, and all of God's people said, Amen. He is risen. He is risen. He is risen. Let's worship him.
Thank you again for listening to today's sermon. For more resources and information about Goodwill Church, visit goodwillchurch.org. God bless.